Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session of the call. If you'd like to ask a question during that time, please press star followed by number one. Today's conference is being recorded. Any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now I'd like to turn over the meeting to Manish Arora. You may begin.
Good afternoon. As was mentioned, I'm Manish Arora, Office Director of the Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure in the Computer and Information Science and Engineering Directorate at the National Science Foundation. On behalf of my colleagues at NSF, the SAIS Directorate, and the Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure, it's my pleasure to welcome you this afternoon to this webinar. We're excited to talk about one of our newest programs, Quantum Computing and Information Science Faculty Fellows Program, or QCISFF. As you will hear from our program officers in just a few minutes, this particular solicitation is very closely aligned to one of the 10 big ideas for future investments, Quantum Leap. As you may already know, the 10 big ideas were unveiled by the foundation a couple of years ago as grand challenges that will drive multidisciplinary research moving forward. The Quantum Leap Big Ideas brings new opportunities and for collaboration for PIs across the Math and Physical Sciences Directorate, Engineering Directorate, and SAIS Directorate. A number of recent reports have noted that there is opportunity for further capacity building within the SAIS community to be able to enable advances in quantum computing as it relates to quantum information science. The QCISFF program is designed to do precisely this and provide a vehicle for growing the research workforce capacity within SAIS to advance quantum computing and communication and to enable deep and meaningful collaborations between the SAIS community and other disciplines. This particular solicitation would not have been possible without the terrific team we have at SAIS within the Division of Computing and Communication Foundations and the Office of Cyber Infrastructure working together. I would like to acknowledge all the program officers here, and specifically Vipin Chaudhary and Dmitry Maslov, for their efforts in putting the solicitation together. I would now like to turn it over to Vipin to walk you through the key components of the solicitations. Thank you again for your interest in the program and for calling in this afternoon. Over to you, Vipin.
Thank you, Manish. Good afternoon. We are Vipin Chaudhary and Dmitry Maslov from the NSF SAIS Directorate. We are the program directors managing the Quantum Computing and Information Science Faculty Fellows, or QCISFF. In this webcast, we will provide a brief overview of the QCISFF program and describe some of the most important things you need to know about submitting a proposal. This webinar is intended to orient the SAIS community to the QCISFF competition, summarize the program and peer review criteria, and answer questions. Of course, the ultimate goal is to improve the quality of your proposals. Here's an outline of today's presentation. We will start with a description of the QCISFF program, followed by an overview of the NSF 19-507 solicitation. We will then take questions from you, the audience. Some of the questions we have already received are included in the end of the presentation. This document will be available on the program website. Next, we talk about the QCIS Faculty Fellows Program, its priorities and goals, and how we implement it. In 2016, the National Science Foundation unveiled a set of big ideas, 10 bold long-term research and process ideas that identify areas for future investment at the frontiers of science and engineering. One of these ideas, the Quantum Leap, leading the next quantum revolution, advances quantum technologies of the future, quantum computing, quantum communication, quantum simulations, and quantum sensors. Recent advances in understanding and exploiting quantum mechanics are laying the foundation for generations of new discoveries that can benefit society in unforeseen ways. This quantum revolution requires a highly trained workforce that can advance the envelope of what is possible through research and development of practical solutions for quantum technology. Academic faculty serve as a vital role in the development of this workforce by training the next generation of students while performing vital research. The disciplines of computer science, information science, and computer engineering are at the nexus of the interdisciplinary breakthroughs needed to design advanced quantum computing, modeling, communication, and sensing technologies. NSF recognizes that there is inadequate research capacity in the CSCE disciplines in the realm of quantum computing and information science. The QCISFF program is intended to add to the existing academic workforce in quantum computing and communication. As such, the program will be able to support the hires of faculty who do not currently hold tenure track or tenured academic positions, or support faculty hired from overseas, but will not support hiring of existing faculty from eligible U.S. institutions, that is, lateral faculty movement. Specifically, QCISFF seeks to support departments and schools in U.S. institutions of higher education that conduct research and teaching in computer science, information science, and or computer engineering, with the specific goal of encouraging hiring of tenure track and tenured faculty in quantum computing and or communication. Cross-disciplinary and multi-department hires are welcome. However, intellectual ownership and primary assignment should be with the department primarily engaged in research and teaching activities for computer and information science and engineering. The program guiding principles are outlined by these four items, namely, the commitment of the department, school, and university to building, growing, and sustaining a long-term interdisciplinary effort in QCIS. The integration of the quantum faculty with the rest of the department. How the new hire enhances cross-departmental research collaborations such as those across physics, mathematics, material science, electrical engineering, and computer and information science. And how the new hire enables creation and support of educational programs in QCIS, including cross-disciplinary course offerings at both the undergraduate and graduate levels. These guiding principles form the solicitation-specific review criteria that we will discuss soon. Quantum Computing and Information Science Faculty Fellows is a size-only program that involves program officers from the Division of Computing and Communication Foundations, Dmitry Maslov, and Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure, which is me, Vipin Chaudhary. Next, we talk about this specific solicitation opportunity, NSF 19-507, including budgets, PI eligibility, proposal details, and review criteria. The total request per position cannot exceed $750,000. NSF funding will support the entire academic year salary and benefits of a single tenure track or tenured faculty member for a duration of up to 3 years. The total anticipated funding for this program is $6,750,000. Submission of a preliminary proposal is required to be eligible to submit a full proposal. Preliminary proposals must be submitted via Fastlane by 5 p.m. submitters local time on the due date for preliminary proposals, namely December 17, 2018 and July 1, 2019 for the next year. Submitters will receive feedback from program staff indicating either encourage or discourage. An encourage finding generally indicates that the proposal appears to be responsive to the program guidelines and is a candidate for further development relative to the solicitation. A discouraged finding generally indicates that the project is typically not responsive to the program, is more suited to another NSF opportunity, or has serious conceptual flaws that would not benefit from further development as a full submission. The feedback provided pursuant to the preliminary proposal is advisory only. Submitters of both encouraged and discouraged preliminary proposals are eligible to submit full proposals. The eligibility criteria for QCIS FF program are as follows. Proposals may only be submitted by universities and colleges. The number of proposals per principal investigator is limited to one. In the event that any individual exceeds this limit, any proposal submitted to this solicitation with this individual listed as PI after the first proposal is received at NSF will be returned without review. No exceptions will be made. Please review the solicitation for details. Preliminary proposals are required and must be submitted via the NSF Fastlane system, even if full proposals will be submitted via grants.gov. The preliminary proposal should consist of three elements: cover sheet, project description, and biographical sketch. No other sections are required or may be included in the preliminary proposal. In the cover sheet, the PI should be indicated. The budget indicated on the cover sheet should be the overall project budget total. The project title on the cover sheet should begin with QCIS-FF preliminary, followed by a colon, then the title of the project. For example, QCIS-FF preliminary title. The project description is limited to 2 pages. The following information is required at the beginning of the project description: project title and project personnel and their departmental affiliations. This section should also contain a concise description of all aspects that a full proposal must address, and in sufficient detail to permit assessment of the ideas, the intent, the value, and the integration. An NSF format biographical sketch of the PI is required. For the cover sheet, enter the preliminary proposal number associated with this full proposal in the box show related preliminary proposal number, if applicable. Proposal titles must indicate the QCISF program followed by a colon, then the title of the project. For example, QCISFF colon title. Collaborative proposals are not allowed in response to this solicitation. Sub-awards may not be requested as part of budgets in proposals submitted to this solicitation. The project summary consists of an overview, a statement of the intellectual merit of the proposed activity, and a statement on the broader impacts of the proposed activity. Please provide between 2 and 6 keywords at the end of the overview in the project summary. In the project description, describe the research and education activities to be undertaken in up to 15 pages. Describe curriculum development activities in a separate section, included within these page limits, titled Curriculum Development Activities. All proposals should seek to transcend the barriers that separate CS, IS, CE disciplines from other scientific disciplines that pursue the study of quantum information science, and describe these efforts in a separate, clearly identifiable section in the project description. A clear description of the hiring process and the strategy to provide adequate interdisciplinary support and mentoring to the newly hired faculty should be presented. Additional supplementary documents include a data management plan. This is the standard NSF requirement. Letters of collaboration, if any, should include documentation of funded or unfunded collaborative arrangements of significance to the proposal. Letters of collaboration should be limited to stating the intent to collaborate and should not contain endorsements or evaluation of the proposed project. The required format for letters of collaboration is in the NSF Proposal and Award Policies and Procedures Guide, or PAPPG. Quantum information science is inherently interdisciplinary, and collaborations can be a useful vehicle to promote interdisciplinary interactions. Provide current, accurate information for all personnel and institutions involved in the project. NSF staff will use this information in the merit review process to manage reviewer selection. As for all proposals received by NSF, QCIS FF reviewers and panelists will be asked to consider the intellectual merit and broader impact for each proposal for their reviews, panel discussions, and panel summaries. In addition to these standard criteria, QCIS FF reviewers and panelists will also be asked to consider additional review criteria that are unique to the QCIS FF program. More on this in a few moments. When evaluating NSF proposals, reviewers are asked to consider what the proposers want to do, why they want to do it, how they plan to do it, how they will know if they succeed, and what benefits could accrue if the project is successful. These issues apply both to the technical aspects of the proposal, the intellectual merits, and the way in which the project may make broader contributions, the broader impact. In addition to the standard NSF review criteria, the proposals will be evaluated on QCIS FF specific review criteria, namely the commitment of the department, school, and university to building, growing, and sustaining a long-term interdisciplinary effort in quantum computing and information science, integration of the quantum faculty with the rest of the department, how the new hire enhances cross-departmental research collaborations, such as those across physics, mathematics, material sciences, electrical engineering, and computer and information science, and how the new hire enables creation and support of educational programs in QCIS, including cross-disciplinary course offerings at both undergraduate and graduate levels. Awards will be issued as continuing grants, with annual increments tied to yearly assessments, with a letter from the department chair annually affirming departmental support for the hired faculty along the following aspects. The hired faculty continuing his/her full-time tenure track or tenured employment with the institution receiving the award. The continued support of the institution as well as the satisfactory performance of the hired faculty in educational and research activities in QCIS and towards tenure. Demonstration of interdisciplinary research collaborations by both the department as well as by the faculty supported through the award that advanced the state of QCIS research. And a detailed statement of contributions to QCIS over the preceding year by the faculty supported by the award. These contributions and their relevance to QCIS will be evaluated internally by NSF. So in summary, the QCIS FF program is envisioned to accept proposals in 2018 and 2019 with application deadlines noted in this solicitation. Institutions that have not received prior funding from this program will be prioritized during subsequent years of the program. The QCIS FF program is intended to add to the existing academic workforce in quantum computing and communication. As such, the program will be able to support the hires of faculty who do not currently hold tenure track or tenured academic positions, or support faculty hired from overseas, but will not support hiring of existing faculty from eligible U.S. institutions, that is, lateral faculty movement. We have now completed the formal portion of the presentation. Before opening the telephone lines to questions from the audience, we would like to address a few of these questions we have already received. Dmitry Maslov is now going to address those questions.
Dmitry. All right, thank you. So the proposals are solicited from the departments of computer science, information science, and computer engineering. And PIs are restricted to the department chairs or the department heads or persons acting in such or similar capacities. A PI may submit no more than one proposal per deadline. So here are a few sample questions. Suppose I am a PI on the proposal to this solicitation. Can I be a PI on any other proposal in response to this solicitation? The answer is no. Can I be a PI on any other proposal to this solicitation? Copy? The answer is no. Can I be a senior personnel on any other proposal to this solicitation? The answer is again no. Are co-PIs even allowed on a proposal to this solicitation? The answer is no. Similarly, are senior personnel allowed on a proposal with a in response to this solicitation? The answer is no. So it's only the department chair or head who may participate as a PI on at most one proposal for the solicitation. Both pre-proposals and proposals must be submitted, received by 5 p.m. submitters local time on the established deadline date. Failure to submit by 5 p.m. submitters local time will result in the pre-proposal or proposal not being accepted. So please carefully read and follow the instructions provided in the solicitation itself and NSF proposal and award policies and procedures guide, also known as PAPPG. If you need additional help preparing and submitting your proposal, we recommend that you contact your institution's sponsored projects office. You may use either grants.gov or Fastlane to apply for full proposal, but you can only use Fastlane for preliminary proposals. Proposals can be submitted by the following: the institutions for higher education, meaning 2- and 4-year institutions for higher education, including community colleges accredited in and having a campus located in the U.S. and acting on behalf of their faculty members. Special instructions for international branch campuses of U.S. IHEs include: if the proposal includes funding to be provided to an international branch campus of a U.S. institution of higher education, including through the use of subawards and consultant arrangements, the proposer must explain the benefits to the project of performance at the international branch campus and justify why the project activities cannot be performed at the U.S. campus. Note that the goal of the QCIS Faculty Fellows Program is to grow U.S. workforce, and therefore the focus of the solicitation is on the U.S. campuses. NSF funding will support the entire academic year salary and benefits of a single tenure track or tenured faculty for a duration of up to 3 years. The total request per position cannot exceed $750,000. On behalf of the National Science Foundation and the QCIS Faculty Fellows team, we thank you for your participation in this webinar. The slides and the script of this webcast, as well as the audio recording, will be available online and at the program webpage. On that page, you will also need to look for the webcast among the list of the events. I invite your questions now via email or telephone to Vipin Chaudhary and myself, Dmitry Matov.
Operator, we're now ready for questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 and record your name clearly. To withdraw your request, you may press star 2. Once again, to ask a question, please press star followed by number 1. One moment, please, while we wait for the first question. Our first question comes from Dan Stanzel. Your line is open.
Thanks. I appreciate the webinar. This has been very helpful. I did have some questions about the allowed budget items. The description does indicate clearly that the intent is the major expense would be the faculty salary and benefits, and you mentioned a number of things that aren't allowed. But then other parts of the proposal do suggest, in terms of collaborations and so forth, that there are some other allowed items. Is it possible to give an example of some budget items other than the faculty salary and benefits that would be allowed?
So there are no such examples, as in it's only the salary and the benefits that are allowed, all of the faculty being hired, and absolutely nothing else.
I see. Okay, perfect.
As the faculty can apply for regular NSF proposals when they're hired. In other words, they will be eligible for summer support to hire students, postdocs, and so forth.
Okay, thank you. That's very helpful.
Sure.
Our next question comes from Jeffrey Boker. Your line is open.
Hello?
Hi.
Yes, hi. Thank you again. Thanks for this webinar. I also found it very useful. I have a couple of questions. First one is, you mentioned that the PI must be the department chair or a designate. One PI can only write one proposal. My question is it possible for one department to submit two proposals? One from, let's say, the chair and the other one from the associate chair or from another designate?
So the answer to that, this may only be possible in a school that has a single qualifying department. In other words, if the university has more than a single qualifying department, and examples of qualifying departments include electrical engineering, electrical and computer engineering, information sciences, computer sciences, information technology, and any combination of these.
I see. So if a school has only a department of electrical engineering and computer science, then two proposals could be possible.
Yes, with the permission, and in order to obtain the permission, if this is indeed your case, please send us an email ahead of time so that we know that there is a set of two proposals coming from the same department, and if this is the case, then we will need the two people, maybe the chair of the department and the associate chair of the department, or the associate chairs of the respective programs. For instance, there may be a computer engineering program with its associate chair and the computer science program with its own associate chair. In such case, the associate chair is can apply.
Great. Okay, I understand. Thank you. Now, the next question is a little, it's just a little bit about your thinking on the strategy. If you make multiple awards during a single period, then have you thought about the fact that you then will have multiple departments essentially competing for the same small pool of applicants? And what is your comment on that scenario?
So we have, hopefully there will be enough supply for the demand generated by this solicitation and elsewhere. We don't know what is going to happen, frankly.
May the best university win.
Okay, so along that line, if the awardee is unable to make a successful hire in the first year of the award, do they then have the opportunity to try again the following year, or do they lose the award? The solicitation was unclear on this.
So we don't have explicit guidance developed as of this moment, because this is a new solicitation and a new funding mechanism. So there are lots of unknowns, and I guess they will be filled in as the program gets executed. But this said, the answer to your question is, I would say most likely the universities will have another chance next year. That's my best guess. But at this point, it's a guess, because we have not executed a solicitation like that before, so there is nothing to compare to.
Yes. Let me just comment. We all noticed that this is an unusual and a new mechanism. Very interesting, very exciting. Thank you for trying this.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Reza Zar. Your line is open.
Hello. Thanks for the presentation. I would like to know, in my department, we are in the Department of Electrical and Computer Engineering. My department chair would like to delegate me as the PI for this proposal. So I'd like to know who are my potential co-PIs. Can I have a co-PI, for example, from physics department with the background in quantum computations, for example?
So no co-PIs are allowed ever, and if the department has a chair or a head, then they cannot nominate anyone apart from themselves to submit a proposal. They must be the PI on the proposal.
Okay. There is no co-PI and only department. But how about designation? You also mentioned there is somewhere in the solicitation says that they can designate somebody to be the PI.
Right. So we put this language in to cover the cases when a department does not have a chair or even an interim chair, in which case there is no leadership in the department, but the department may still want to apply for this funding, and they should have a way of doing so. And the way of doing so is to have a designee who, without being the chair or a head of the department, would nevertheless be qualified to file an application on behalf of the department. So
okay,
that's what this language covers.
Yeah. How about the research centers? For example, we have also a research center. It's called iSense. It's one of university pillars. Can be, I'm not sure if you're definitely familiar with these research centers. Can the director of the research centers can apply as a PI if the department chair is not applying, for example?
No, only the department chairs or department heads can apply for funding, but not the directors of centers or other entities. In other words, the main entity that is being represented by the respective department head or the chair has to be an academic department in the university.
Okay.
The department.
Yeah, the department needs to be the home for the tenure.
Okay. Yeah, sounds good. Thank you very much for the answering the questions.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Question comes from Mohan Kumar. Your line is open.
Hello. Thank you for the very useful information. I have a couple of questions. The first question is, should we focus on any particular area within quantum, like such as quantum algorithms, quantum parallel algorithms, or quantum machine learning algorithms, or any specific area, or it should be general?
The requirement is that the faculty who gets hired, they see the home in the directorate for computer and information sciences and engineering. So long as they see their home in the directorate for computer and information sciences and engineering, it doesn't matter if it's theory or hardware or communications or systems or networking, it doesn't really matter. But it has to be contained to size topics.
All right. Okay, thank you. My next question is, you mentioned about co-PIs. Can we have other faculty in the department as co-PIs?
No, you cannot. Only the department head can be the PI, and there cannot be any co-PIs or senior personnel.
Okay, thank you. And I have another question about budget.
Yep.
You were very clear. You mentioned about only salaries and benefits. is the salary for the academic year or for the entire 12 months?
Oh, that's a nice question. Yeah, the salary is for the 9 month academic year.
Okay.
This does not include summer salary. If the faculty who gets hired decides they would like to have some summer salary, then they themselves can apply for NSF funding or funding from other agencies if they're interested. And then this way they will be able to get the summer salary. So another, speaking of which, another piece that we don't support is the startup package. So that we also do not support.
No startup package.
But encourage, of course, the universities to provide adequate startup packages.
All right. Thank you so much for the information.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Stephanie Ravelli. Your line is open.
Yes, I had a question about the COPI, but it's kind of been answered, I think. Just a note, in your directions for the preliminary proposal, under the project description, it says a list of PIs and COPIs need to be listed. So that's kind of confusing. You might want to change that in the next solicitation. And then later I read that after you're awarded, the faculty member that is hired from the solicitation needs to be added as a COPI. That is correct still?
Yes, that is still correct, yes.
Okay. Yeah, that was my question. You pretty much answered it, but just for next time to cross out that COPI because it makes it kind of confusing.
Thank you.
We'll try. It's the way the system is set up that it populates a specific language in the solicitation. So
I got it.
That's why it's there.
Thank you anyway.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Harry Narayan. Your line is open.
Hello. My question is a follow-up on an earlier question about the logistics of hiring and potential failure to hire. So suppose that NSF awards this to a university in the beginning of fiscal year 2019. As I'm sure you know, the hiring process cycle is that departments advertise in fall and typically interview in early spring, offers are made in late spring, and the faculty joins the following fall. So if you were to award this to a university in 2019, and the university can afford to hire a faculty only if they get the award, I mean, meaning they have no other money, the department, then the department won't be able to use the funds until the following fall 2020 when the faculty will be in place. I just wanted to ask whether you are sensitive to that hiring cycle. And I heard you say in response to the earlier question that if a department was unable to hire during 1 year, you would allow them to continue searching for a faculty for a second year. I just want to confirm that is indeed the case. Thank you. And then I have one more question after that.
So to answer the first question, yes, this is indeed the case. This is how we intend to execute it. So internally, we also have some internal deadlines, and we have to spend the money in various fiscal years. And because of that, there is an internal complication. But this said, we will work with the universities to make sure that the faculty is hired and funded by NSF at the university space.
Okay. So you are aware that there could be a delay?
Yes, we are aware that this takes a long time.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the other question is I see that the deadlines and you're accepting proposals in two cycles, December through February, and I think July through September of 2019. What is the probability that this will continue accepting proposals in 2020, or is this just a one-time solicitation with two proposal acceptance cycles?
So given this is the first time we test a completely new type of funding mechanism, I myself, despite years at NSF, have a very difficult time guesstimating whether this will or will not continue, may or may not continue. I don't know. It's just too difficult to say.
Okay, that's all I have, and I really appreciate that NSF is sensitive to this issue of supporting quantum research, and thank you for getting the solicitation out, and thank you for the information during the webinar.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Sumaya Ray. Your line is open.
Hi, I had a question about the intellectual merit and broader impact criteria that you are expecting in this particular proposal. I was just wondering if you could elaborate on these, since this is not a regular research proposal. It's not clear to me that the same criteria makes sense quite.
Right, this is correct. So in terms of the intellectual merit, we would like to know what the proposers would like to do, why the university is committed to establishing or growing its programs in quantum information science. Why is it important to the university? What kind of environment does the university provide to the faculty? Of course, we would like the hired faculty to be successful in what they do. Therefore, having people to collaborate with, having the productive work environment are all going to be very important. So this said, it's difficult, again, to answer your question because usually for regular programs, what constitutes intellectual merit and what constitutes broader impact for regular NSF proposals is easy to answer because NSF has been around for a long time and the answers to these questions have been already developed and verified. And in the case of this solicitation, it's a lot more difficult to give an explicit and complete answer to these questions. But this said, the integration of the quantum faculty with the rest of the department is very important. The integration of the faculty with other departments, cross-departmental research activities are important. Of course, we will, to the extent possible, try to evaluate the commitment of the department, the school, and overall the university to not only hiring this faculty, but also building, growing and sustaining a large, or not necessarily large, but a group in quantum information science that will hopefully span more than just the computer science / computer engineering type of areas, but also other topics, other areas such as physics, chemistry, and so forth.
Okay, thank you. I had one more question, which is that so some parts of this proposal, which are talking about education and so forth, it's likely, and I think possible that once a hire is made, different directions may be taken. A lot of this does depend on the person who is actually being hired, and we don't know who that is yet. So when it comes time to evaluate the progress that has been made, are you sensitive to the fact that, the progress may actually have been in different directions than what was directly written in the proposal? Because it's also a function of who actually was the hire.
Yes, we're sensitive, and in fact, the awards will be given as continued grants, and annual increments will be released every year. So there will be, depending on the seniority of the hire, one or two chances for NSF to evaluate where the project is going. And there are four criteria that we use in order to assess the how successful the award is. And one of those criteria is the hired faculty must continue their full-time tenure track employment at the institution and continue working in quantum information science field. Yeah, so it's one of the renewal criteria, yes.
Okay, thank you very much. This was very informative, thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Vikram Adi. Your line is open.
Hi, we are from the University of Illinois, Vikram Adwe and Chandra Chakuri. A couple of questions. One is regarding our situation where the department chair is changing between preliminary proposal and the full proposal. How should we go about that process?
So my suggestion would be for the current chair or chair as of December 17th to be the PI on the pre-proposal, and whoever is going to be the chair at the next deadline, which I believe is February 25th, be the PI on the full proposal. And, yeah.
Okay. One more question is, should the two-page proposal cover basically both intellectual merits and broader impacts, and the other aspect of how the specific criteria for QCIF? I mean, in the sense that, should it be a mini version of the full proposal, or it could be a little bit more high level?
But isn't that equivalent? Yeah, I mean, so long as you have less space in terms of the page count, then you have to, whatever you say has to be somewhat high level and less detailed.
I mean, it says, should it cover explicitly, should there be a section saying intellectual merit and section saying broader impact?
I think that's your choice. The idea really is for the preliminary proposal to see if the proposals are within scope of the, are they responsive or not.
Okay.
Right? So that is the primary reason for having the pre-proposals.
Okay. So we have some flexibility in this process.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for your help.
Yeah. Thank you.
Again, to ask a question, please press star followed by number one. Our next question comes from Dan Stansel. Your line is open.
Thanks for the opportunity to ask another question. A detailed question about the pre-proposal or preliminary proposal and the cover sheet. The cover sheet online indicates that the budget is pre-populated from the budget sheet. Since we don't know who we're going to hire, it seems like the prudent thing is to just put the maximum allowed as a placeholder. But if it looks like, since that's pre-populated from the budget, that we may have to fill out at least something on the budget to get it on the cover sheet. I may be just missing a detail, and I apologize if so.
So you can, of course, use the maximum, but also if you know what the starting salaries of the faculty are and what are the overheads, then you may as well put these numbers together, take an upper bound maybe, and so long as this number is under 750,000, then it could or maybe not be worth to show this lower number. But this said, when it comes to the full proposals and when it comes to hiring the actual faculty, our plan is to wait until the university makes the actual offer, and then the actual offer will have the right numbers in place, exact numbers, and we will ask the universities to provide these numbers to NSF, and then the budget will be established at that point when the person who is hired is already known.
Yes, thank you. For as far as the cover sheet is concerned, as I said, it appears as though you have to fill out the budget sheet to populate the cover sheet, but yet the budget is not one of the items to be submitted in the preliminary proposal.
So put the best number you can, just try to guesstimate it, and keeping in mind that it cannot exceed 750,000.
Okay, so if the system requires me to fill out the budget sheet and the budget sheet gets submitted because it's all tied together, that will not, and four things are submitted instead of three, then that will not, trigger a rejection automatically.
No, it will not.
Okay. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Yep.
Our next question comes from Chen Chang Wang. Your line is open.
Hi, this is Jay Yin, RIT. My question is there any flexibility or restriction on the support structure to support this faculty on the budget side?
Could you elaborate?
So, for example, if we have flexible, so let's say the RIT has some support system through our mentoring program, but we want to expand from that a little bit, is there something flexible could do that? Or are there restrictions on staff packages and things like that to be budgeted?
So the startup packages are not allowed.
Okay.
It's only the 9 month salary, academic year salary of the faculty that is allowed, along with the benefits and overheads.
So how about like the mentorship programs, kind of, for example, if we budget this maybe small amount that across disciplines and we try to create a workshop so that faculty across colleges can get together to brainstorm things to support this person, would that kind of thing allowed or not?
No, that would not be allowed. Only the academic year salary and the overheads on the salary are allowed. And nothing else.
Thank you.
Just to clarify, I don't know if that was clear. The startup packages, NSF will not pay for it. You can have a startup package for the faculty. You can fund all these workshops. It's just that the NSF monies can only be used for faculty salary.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Jeffrey Bogart. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks for the second question. Actually, you just said something which surprised me. You mentioned overhead. The solicitation says salary plus benefits. Is indirect cost allowed?
Yes, indirect costs are allowed.
Ah, okay, very good. Now, the main question I wanted to ask you, it's been asked already once, but you gave your best answer on how you will evaluate intellectual merit, but you didn't say anything about broader impact. Broader impact is always a challenge for even a conventional research proposal, as I'm sure you're well aware. I know it gets discussed a lot within the NSF. And here at this very new program, it would be great if you could give us any guidance whatsoever on what criteria for broader impact might be in this case.
So for broader impact, the, for instance, development of the curriculum and cross-department activities, in other words, activities of the faculty or the department that span multiple departments would be considered the broader impact because it goes outside the department. These are a couple of examples, but if you can come up with more ideas, the more ideas, the better.
Okay, I didn't hear you specifically mention things like broadening participation and outreach to the public, tech transfer, all those other things.
These are the standard broader impacts. So, yes, of course, all of them apply. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
Our next question comes from Harry Narayan. Your line is open.
Hello. I have a question about the nature of the faculty appointments allowed by the solicitation. Is it required that the hired faculty be 100% in a computer science department, or are joint appointments where the majority of the percentage, say 70% in computer science and 30% in math allowed? If the answer is that joint appointments are allowed, would NSF allow the budget of an award to be split between these two departments because the appointment is joint and the two departments would be contributing to the academic year salary of the faculty hired?
So size, and this is a program that belongs to size, and size will only be able to support the departments that are affiliated with size and will not be able to support other departments that are affiliated with other directorates within NSF. So, for instance, mathematics within NSF is with the Directorate for Mathematical and Physical Sciences, and so is physics, and so is chemistry.
Okay, that would mean that if the proposal plans to hire a faculty 70% in size and 30% in mathematics, the budget for the proposal can only ask for 70% of the academic year salary and benefits. Is that the correct interpretation?
No, I think the interpretation is we will only fund computer science, computer engineering, or size faculty full-time.
I see. So 100% has to be in
yes.
a computer science department. All right. Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah, thank you.
Our next question comes from Vikram Addy. Your line is open.
Hi. Thanks for taking the second question. So if the budget is really just an estimate because we don't know exactly who we're going to hire and the salary may, let's say, come in lower than the budget, then is it possible that we could get the, you know, the usual NSF one-year no-cost extension and maybe use the money beyond 3 years? Or in this case, would NSF want to then later on reduce the budget after the award is made? Do you have any idea how that might work?
To answer this question, the way it will most likely go is once the person is hired and their salary is established, it will be possible to tell what is the overall budget of the award is, at which point we will ask the university to revise the budget and submit the final budget. Once the final budget is submitted, we will pay this money in the award, and this is it. And in terms of extending it to beyond the 3 years, we will not be able to do that. So the support is provided only for at most 3 years.
Okay, so I think what I'm understanding is that the budget will actually be finalized only after the faculty member is hired, and so then we actually have a specific idea what the salary would be.
Correct. Yes, correct.
That makes sense. But I do have a follow-up question. So it's become very common practice, at least for fresh PhDs when they accept a faculty position, that they defer their start date by a year and they do a postdoc somewhere for a year. And that's been true for almost all or all the fresh PhDs we've hired in the last 2 or 3 years. So if the award happened for this fall, let's say starting fall August 2019, we would know the person's salary and we would be able to fix the budget, but the person wouldn't join the faculty position until, let's say, fall 2020, so a year later. So in that case, could we actually make the award effectively start a year late?
So we would like to discourage those people being hired from delaying the starting date of their appointment. We understand that for universities, it takes some time to actually execute the hiring process. But we're less sensitive to the person being hired delaying their starting date, and because of that, us having to delay making the award.
I see. Okay, so I'll take this offline then. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
At this time, we have no further questions. We have no further questions at this time.
We can wrap up.
Operator, I think that concludes our webinar. Thank you all for joining in and your interest in this program.
Thank you for your participation in today's conference. Please disconnect at this time.